Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Eighteen years today since the September 11th attacks. Wall Street this morning marks this solemn anniversary with a moment of silence at the New York Stock Exchange. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Steady pre-market. Dow's up 5 days in a row while the Nasdaq's down three. Europe is green. Got yields backing up, though, as core wholesale inflation runs hot, up 2-3 year on year. Our roadmap's going to begin with Apple, upping the ante in the streaming wars. Its big reveal of Apple TV Plus overshadowing the iPhone 11. But do either move the needle for investors?
Plus, quote, boneheads. President Trump taking on the Fed yet again, calling the central bank naive and telling it to cut interest rates to zero. Stocks, though, flat ahead of yield.
And is Wall Street truly afraid of Elizabeth Warren? More from Jim on what he is hearing from leaders in the financial industry about the 2020 presidential race. Start with Apple, though. Shares rising one day after that big product event. Not only did the company unveil a new line of iPhones and other devices, but created lots of buzz with news about Apple TV+. This is what Tim Cook had to say on stage.
We're excited to tell you that the first shows will be available on November 1st. And we'll be adding more Apple Originals every month. And Apple TV Plus will be available in over 100 countries at launch. And it is just $4.99 per month for your whole family.
We're going to talk to Morgan Stanley's Katie Huberty in a little bit.
Fantastic.
Yes, who says the event, Jim, was compelling. To a large degree, because pricing was aggressive.
Yeah, I went through every single note. I'm so glad you have her. I didn't know, though, that because she is the one who I think really captured the zeitgeist of the moment. And the term that I would have used if I were working with her is to say, we have consumables now. Apple has a line of consumables. No different from I'm interviewing David Taylor from Procter & Gamble with Nelson Peltz at Delivering Alpha. They have a line of consumables. Now, Cook has it. And at $4.99, what I like about it is, that's that level, again, that I don't think about. I just don't think. Let it be in my bill every single month, like the download, like the photo protection, the cloud. It's a great price level because it's a level that we will not think about. We talked yesterday about a lot of the ones. How many can you have that are 10? And which one will you cut out? We always forget that Apple has this store. Of course, the New York Times talks pretty negatively about the store today. Apple has a store, and you buy things there. And it's the only place you don't bother to check out. You just say, and that this is, again, that I've seen some of the programming. I think it's very exciting. For $5, let me take a shot.
Now, we didn't get anything on the card, which you were hoping for. Yeah. Little discussion of privacy, which some said might be a talking point.
Yeah, I mean, the card is really a mystery to me. Why they don't talk this up, because cards are per se not exciting, but they have, that's another thing, you just get it, it's in the App Store. The video games, that was important in the App Store. But the thing that really stood out to me, and I know the man to my left has never bought, when he hears consumable, I think he thinks about his parents with Fallout shelters in 1962. David, they've got a brand new watch,
yeah,
and you don't have to flip your wrist, but most importantly, it's at $199. Do you know that when the iPod Mini went down to $199, that's when it exploded? That's when it exploded. $199 is going to explode the watch, and I think it's a very, very big deal. And that, to me, was the most important takeaway yesterday, Will.
And they didn't raise the price for the high end either.
No.
$199 is an important price. Well, that was sort of a lot of people's takeaway, was also the iPhone prices come down.
Right.
At least for, you can get one for $699.
Yes, they're very sensitive to price, which is something that people...
And the tariff's not figuring into this either,
right?
Which is interesting, given they are already applying to some of their, including the watch, I believe.
Yes, and now how about, I think there was a moment where the senior vice president, Phil Schiller, said that the new video is computational photography mad science. There is so much machine learning. I mean, look, I think when people take pictures now, you have to understand, they're doing it for Instagram. Everyone wants to be a professional. And this is a professional-level camera for Instagram.
Huberty, by the way, reiterates outperform. Target 247. She posts a survey of the Morgan Stanley summer interns.
Oh!
Asking them the most important features when you buy a new phone, number one. You want to guess? battery life.
Battery life, which you get an additional hour.
Number two, compatibility with my other tech. And number three is camera.
Yep, there you go. It's interesting. I wonder if those people shake hands, look them in the
eye. They do. I've had plenty of my friends' children now who I'm trying to help secure internships if I can. It's after junior year. It's very important. They serve during the summer, and it means you're going to get a job at Morgan Stanley or Goldman Sachs or any of these places. And they're an impressive bunch.
They look you in the eye. They don't
Without
just text you.
They look you in the eye.
Do they say thank you?
They do a good job. They have these super days, man, for these interviews these kids go through that sound pretty darn brutal. They still want jobs at these places.
Well, I'm just thrilled that they actually. And the handshake is still in use with these younger people?
I absolutely demand that they sit down with me. And I enjoy a rigorous discussion with them before I would even think about recommending any of them.
Because their arrogance and their ignorance has really kind of been a hallmark.
But back to Apple and the streaming thing. To call their streaming entrant an also-ran in the streaming wars, I think is even being kind.
Oh, David.
Come on. $4.99. I don't care what the price is. Really, you're going to sign up to watch what?
I'm going to sign up to watch what they send me because I like what they have.
Well, I guess, if it's cheaper than a cup of coffee at Starbucks, does it matter?
A triple venti cappuccino with skim wet is $5.97. And by the way, there was no SEC issue with Starbucks.
It's so much lower than Disney. $6.99. That is the price that changed everything in streaming. Sorry, $6.99
for
ESPN Disney.
Plus.
Period.
Okay, and I'll get Apple Plus
for $24 less a year. Great, I can.
Okay,
get,
let me tell you why you're so wrong.
I get Jennifer Aniston.
Let me tell you why you're so wrong.
You really have it out for Aniston.
Let me tell you why you're so wrong.
I like both of them.
Okay,
but I'm not even in the
Chief,
demo.
Hey, Chief.
Neither
listen
are you
to me.
In the demo,
Chief.
By the way.
Hey, Sunshine.
He's still in the demo.
Sparky, get this. Here's the deal.
He chiefed me, Sunshine, me, and Sparky.
I'm sparking you, which is the lowest level imaginable.
All right, go ahead.
That's a millennial term.
Be a defender of streaming service.
I was there with Tim Cook. You're always trying. You know, this is one of my earlier ones. You're always trying to look for an icebreaker. You say, you can go Auburn football. I say, hey, what are you watching? You know what he's watching?
What?
He's watching Narcos. This is a man who has taste. You're going to be blown away.
He was watching a Netflix show.
Well, right.
That's
interesting.
No, I'm saying that he has taste. What matters?
He's not making the decisions about what's on the streaming
service.
Well, we didn't, but the board didn't hire Tim Cook because he's a programmer or a movie studio executive.
I don't want him making
those decisions.
You're taking me literally. What I'm saying is that they are watchers like us, okay? Watcher like us. They love entertainment. I'm saying that they are not just technologists.
All right. They'll build it over time, and maybe a few years from now we'll be talking about
patronize.
It. Come on.
You're so patronizing. Look, I want to go back on this because now on YouTube people are going to say, Kramer says that because Took likes Dora. No, what I'm saying here, what I'm saying is that it's going to surprise you. Some of the things that I've seen are so cool that I say to myself, wow, you would think that these guys who are technologists wouldn't even think about it, but they really are much more than that.
I'll tell you, got my attention was the watch, the face that stays
don't
lit.
Don't have to do the thing
compass.
Anymore.
You come out of the subway, you know instantly which way.
Which face are you using right now? I'm using the sunrise one. I love.
Not sure.
I alternate all the time.
Yeah.
You know, Tim, when he looks, he says, you got the Mickey Mouse. I change every day. If you're on the Cybex, it actually knows now you're on the Cybex. Oh, I detect that you're on a new machine.
It works in the pool, too, but I don't like anything around my wrist.
When you swim, I agree.
Is OBJ wearing it?
He's wearing something.
He's got a $250,000 watch.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Well, I think he ought to wear this one, and it would hold up a lot better.
Huberty's targeted nearly $250. Fair?
She has to raise the price. And, by the way, she will have a better, more articulate way to explain why I believe that their $4.99 is going to have interesting. $4.99? How much do you, when you go to the movies, have you ever been to the movies, David?
Say again?
You ever been to the movies?
I went last week for the first time in quite some time. Yes.
Well, it was $197?
Tarantino?
Exactly.
Yeah,
before it left.
But you finally went to see something. Well, you know, a Diet Coke is the same price as what he's paying per month. Right? The popcorn, the big popcorn, and they put that crummy butter on it. Now you got ones. I got a guy who spilled a margarita on me. And I went to one of those places where you eat, people are talking and they're eating, I can't hear a darn thing. And a guy spills a margarita. If I do that, I'll go to Bar San Miguel.
And this has to do with the Apple streaming service?
I'm saying that when you go to the movies, it's the price
multiple
of a full
of the cost.
Year of Apple.
Oh,
and by the way, I'm going back on this again. I am saying that the guys who run Apple, if you prick them, do they not bleed? If they poison them, do they not die? No. What?
The nice part is I'm going to be able to sit here a couple of years from now and tell you. I told you.
You'll have it. You'll watch it. You'll think Jennifer Aniston is a heroine.
The watch has done fairly well, so yes, I will admit that.
Until I see you do karaoke for $4.99, I'm done with you.
Meantime, the president's sending another message to the Fed when it comes to rates. This morning he tweets, the Federal Reserve should get our interest rates down to zero or less, and we should then start to refinance our debt. Interest costs could be brought way down while at the same time substantially lengthening the term. We have the great currency power and balance sheet. The USA should always be paying the lowest rate. No inflation. It is only the naivete of Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve that doesn't allow us to do what other countries are already doing, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we're missing because of boneheads. That's the word of the day today.
See, I think you should have used Sunshine or Sparky. You know, I know Jay. I think bonehead is severe. I use Chowderhead, by the way, when people confuse me with people I said want to stop Warren. Look, I think that Dick Fisher was on earlier. He's a genius. I know he heard me. I want them to cut rates. Negative rates, no. We don't want negative rates. That's just a sign that we're not a robust economy. But is bonehead appropriate for a Fed chief who actually he appointed, by the way? He appointed. That was his appointee.
It was.
Do you think the bonehead is?
Well, as we well know, he tires of people quickly. In this case, though, he can't fire them.
Right.
Because one would think, given the frequency of tweets, if he could, it would have happened a long time.
Oh, I think that's, David, I think that you got a keen eye for the obvious.
Thank you,
partner.
I have a keen sense for the obvious is what I've made a career out of.
Yeah, you really have, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
This is just, if you came home from school and your mom heard that you called someone a bonehead, I don't think it would go well. I don't think it would go well. My mom used the hairbrush, and Dad used the, he just used the five fingers. But you get that five fingers right there, and you remember he would, look there, 5 days later, you still see five fingers in your leg.
We are seeing negative rates come back a bit in Germany, I guess.
Minus 53. That sounds impressive now.
No, it does.
Nowadays.
Minus 53? Oh, that's robust.
Yeah.
They could print money over there and put some people to work, but, Merkel's worried about wheelbarrows, and she's worried about Deutschmarks, and it is really, she's so rooted in history, it's strange.
Well, you do believe Trump is onto something, and we've talked a lot about it, with get those rates as low as possible and issue long, long-term bonds to fund something or other. I mean, he does sort of indicate that as that's not wrong, necessarily.
No, I agree.
The opportunity to reduce interest costs. Nobody's talking about infrastructure, though. Nobody's talking about actually borrowing money long-term and using it for something productive.
I talk about a 50-year bond that we'd all love to make our roads great again.
Nobody in government.
No, not in government. No. We do have tomorrow. Mnuchin, Secretary Mnuchin, will be on Squawk Box. Good opportunity. But that's what. And the question is how much would you need congressional approval to do that gigantic 50-year? Right. And I don't know. That's up in the air.
Well, and now you have J.P. Morgan, Diamond, saying they're preparing for zero interest rates, lowering their guide on net interest income.
On Twitter, someone posted that they were looking at five. Yesterday, that was the best tweet of the day, Carl, because it just shows you they prepare for everything, or you can say they don't know what to do it. I don't know which is a better way to do it.
It just shows you how much can change in less than a year.
Yep.
Obviously, marking the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks today, you're going to see some military service personnel coming into the floor. NYPD, it is a morning where we're going to remember not just the victims and their families, but the first responders, the servicemen and women who fought in the wars that followed. Jim, you did some great work looking at the loss of infrastructure and just how long it took to build it back.
Yeah. 343 members of the New York City Fire Department were lost on that day. And subsequently, in the last 18 years since, a couple more hundred have died due to 9/11 related illnesses, so not to forget that.
No, geez, I didn't know that.
You're going to be seeing a moment of silence here at the New York Stock Exchange in a few moments. The president, obviously, in Washington, D.C. today, I think he's going to be laying a wreath in Arlington. We'll keep an eye on Shanksville, Pennsylvania, as the commemorations continue from all over the country today. It was at 8:46 that the North Tower was initially hit, 9:03 when the South Tower was hit, and 937, the Pentagon, followed by the collapses of those buildings. And we'll mark time, as we do every year. There's some amazing work being done today by Politico, sort of an oral history of those who were involved. Karl Rove talking about the moment he first heard about the news, told then-President Bush initially, this is what we have, and Bush looked back at him and said, get more.
Well, I think that there's a room in the museum memorial where it has the minute before what the world was like, Today's Show on Happy Stuff, and then a minute after, and everyone's got to go to this. I mean, I remember that now that there's so many people who, kids who were born after, and they've got to think, you know, this to me should be a national field trip. I think that that museum is the most moving museum, and for those of us who lost people, we know they have backgrounds of everybody, and it's just vital. I mean, we all should have gone to Pearl Harbor. It's so far. But
funny.
This, everyone must go to this.
Bloomberg's got a piece this morning about a new documentary from a filmmaker aimed at kids who were too young to remember. How did she get the idea for the project? When she heard about some third graders who were on a play date and were Googling 9/11 attacks. And when you do that, you get some imagery that's not appropriate for kids. And so there's a new wave of journalism and filmmaking aimed at helping younger people understand what you and I understand too well.
I think that's great. The recreation of it, whether it be the phone calls of the stewardess, whether it be the unfortunate jumping room that they tell people, please, you know, be careful, whether it be the Brian Williams moment, we're talking about what's happening. And I don't know. I mean, we went in, my friends, we came in, we were going to go there for 2 hours, then we're going to go see a show, go on the High Line. No, we just went home. It's art. Everyone must go. Everyone in the country.
When we come back, we'll give that moment of silence at the big board here in remembrance of 9/11. Don't go away. The NYSE and the NASDAQ each about to observe a moment of silence as we remember those who lost their lives on September 11th, 2001. You're going to hear the words never forget a lot today, but it happens to be true that we will never forget. Nearly 3,000 people killed, 6,000 injured, $10 billion in infrastructure damage, Jim.
Yeah, I did a documentary about the redo. It did take for a long time, but it's quite stirring. It's amazing.
We've talked a lot about the momentum shift this week, and it's reflected in the NASDAQ down 3 straight days, but the Dow up 5 straight days. There's a look at the week, gain of about 3%. Opening bell is just 6 minutes away.
All right, we're counting down to the opening bell. We've got about 3.5 minutes before stocks start trading here at the New York Stock Exchange, but we got time to squeeze in a mad dash.
Yes, last week we had Nikesh Arora, the CEO of Palo Alto Networks. He talked about directly going against companies that were really doing cybersecurity for the cloud, because he's going to do firewall for the on-premise. And that was your clarion call to sell Zscaler. ZS. Now, I like ZS. It's a very good company, but you see it's down much. That's because they dropped a bomb.
Whoa.
In the conference. Yeah. They dropped a bomb in the conference saying it's taking longer for big deals to close.
Tell people what they do, Jim, so
okay.
They can understand it, because there's so many different cloud-related things. People can get confused.
Well, what is the one thing we don't want? We don't want anyone to hack the cloud and get our stuff.
Right.
These guys are really effective in making sure that doesn't happen, as is CrowdStrike, by the way, with Amazon Web Services, as is, by the way, now VMware.
VMware right. starting to do it because they bought Carbon Black.
Had them on
so
last night.
What's happened is that Nikesh talked about, very specifically, I mean, Satya, he talked about, listen, we're gunning for these people. And what's happened, of course, is that it's working in the sense that there's getting crowded. What's good for Palo Alto is actually just quite bad
so
for
So what was the bomb that Zscaler dropped
it's
on?
It's really getting hard to close. It's getting hard to close big deals. And when you hear that, what it says is someone is looking at Zscaler versus another company and taking their time rather than just buying Zscaler. So they guided down from what we thought they were going to do, down to 0 to 1 cent versus two cents, basically. And what I come back with is say, wow, this is now a crowded segment. And Nikesh declared war on these guys.
Right. We should also point out this underlying rotation we've been talking about, this violent move that continues. It's part of this, too. I mean, it's getting swept up in that.
What out of high multiple?
This momentum sell-off that we've all been referring to, this move into value. By the way, Morgan Stanley this morning, guys, says 75% done. Whatever that means.
Of the move is done? I think that's so right. Who did that?
The same guys, actually, they've been very good. It's not the research side.
Oh, my God. It's like for the trade. Yes. That, whoever does that work, it's really sophisticated. And I agree with that. I think you're almost done. I think you're starting to see yesterday you saw some of these stocks bounce. They have not bounced. Holy cow. They've just been dead cat.
Well, how about you got downgrades of Clorox and Costco and upgrades of Micron and Alcoa?
Yeah, isn't that typical? Micron was about 6 times earnings. Clorox is, that was a very good piece about how Clorox has slowed meaningfully. And that was a very damning thing. The Costco was just a
I should be clear, Morgan Stanley reiterated
underweight. But it was a very rigorous piece, Carl. And it made you feel like, why am I still in that? Okay, here's a quiz. What stock sells at 3 times earnings?
Three. Micron? I don't know.
GameStop.
GameStop.
GameStop, which cuts their sales forecast, right?
They're going to open 50,000 people work for them. They still have a huge number of stores. And what it says is they're not losing money. But people believe that when you have down 11% comparable store sales, as they do, that somehow they're going to be goners. They are very susceptible to cycles. Waiting for a 2020 console launch. But let's watch that. They're in every mall.
Let's get to the opening bell here. S&P 500 at the big board this morning. It is the FDNY and NYPD representatives of the 9/11 National Day of Service at the NASDAQ. It's Tuesday's Children promoting long-term healing to those directly impacted by the events on September 11, 2001.
Cantor Fitzgerald did more than $300 million. They're day where they raise money. It's very important. A lot of sports people do a lot of good things today with commemoration to raise money.
GameStop, you mentioned, Jim, not the only one cutting guidance. Dave and Buster's, despite a beat, cuts their four-year guide.
I mean, you know, there they talked openly. They missed. They didn't have the right promotions. Their food and beverage is down really badly. But most importantly, they talk about cannibalization. A lot of people felt that Dave and Buster's could save them all. Whenever you hear these, like, who's going to come in for Sears? It's going to be Dave and Buster. Well, Dave and Buster basically says, we had enough Dave and Buster's for now. We're going to not sacrifice our terrific rate of return, 45% for the new ones, pay back quickly. But what people didn't want to hear is that there are could be momentarily too many. Now, there is room ultimately, but they did miss the mark on a lot of their features. They had tough compares because they had some very good games that were introduced the year before, artificial reality. And I've got to tell you, I don't know if I want to buy it here. I know they have a buyback. I don't know if I want to buy it. I don't know if I want to buy GameStop either.
Right. Well, what do you make of this, again, this move into value, out of momentum? How long? I mean, again,
I think it's drying up.
Over, but it's, you know, it's certainly doing some crazy things with some of the P&Ls of some of these asset managers out there at this point. Do you keep going with it?
No, I think you can start. I said last night you can start buying these.
You can start buying momentum names.
Yeah, you can start buying Starbucks, which was down ultimately at the end of the day.
What about Roku? You see the...
Roku's tougher because you have people think about Apple. And, David, right now Apple stock is saying I'm going to be right on the $4.99 and they have a lot of interesting programming. Now, I know there are other people who feel that the programming is suspect. I am saying that it's a $4.99 throwaway, okay? You know, maybe initially they don't know what they're doing. Maybe they only have a few. But I think people are taking a long-term view and looking at the present value stream, present value analysis, PV.
Okay.
Present value analysis.
Okay.
Elizabeth Warren last night retweeted an exchange that David and Jim and I had on this show. Almost 100,000 likes at this point. Take a listen.
If she becomes president, what do you think is going to happen to the banks?
Well, it's not a... It would be a suboptimal situation for the banks.
She, right.
You think Elizabeth Warren pushes banks into it? Well, they're already down 20% from the highs.
I've got to tell you, when you get off the desk and you talk to executives, they're more fearful of her winning. I mean, I've never heard anybody say, look, she's got to be stopped. She's got to be stopped. I don't know. She's very... She keeps going up in the polls.
She's raised a ton of money.
She's going to win Iowa, time. I believe. She's a very compelling figure on the stump.
By the way, I hear it too, and it's another reason why companies are being implored to do things now. If you want to get something done,
you really think
M&A or anything, think about doing it soon, because come early to mid-2020, if Elizabeth Warren's rolling along, everybody's going to be like, that's it.
Right. Now, let's understand what I was saying. It was a little inartful there. Is when you speak to bankers, they say she must be stopped. Oh, I see she might have been, whatever. I mean, I've had go-rounds with her. She's been on my show a number of times.
It's not a secret.
No.
I mean, she's going to move to break up the banks.
Yes.
By the way, the pharmaceutical industry would also similarly say,
oh, yeah,
watch out.
Rich people in general.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's going to be a lot of scaremongering, too, don't forget, on the Republican side about all the things.
Sure, but don't forget me. I don't see, she must be stopped. Who am I? I'm hearing, and I'm trying to say what they tell me. They won't let me say, hey, I am so-and-so, I need to stop her. But me stop?
I know. Well,
but there's chowder heads, there's boneheads.
And you'll be good.
There's one. There's a lot of boneheads.
Keep the other six.
There's boneheads in the Twitter.
Well, speaking of which others might respond, the banks are dealing right now with an administration that's crushing their net interest margin.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, but the
negative rates doesn't help.
But Schwab is laying off 600 people.
They're 7 and 8. They're the part of this rotation into low multiple stocks and, you know, out of CrowdStrike and into Citi.
Right.
I mean, that's what it says. Citi's at 8 times earnings. Goldman, 9 times earnings. DJ running the joint. Just kidding. I think the guy's really smart. Everything I say is taken out of context. So, David, I love you, man.
Thanks, Chief.
Bank's not leading the charge by any means. So
no, guys, worth mentioning exchanges this morning.
What?
Yeah, because even though it's not on these shores, it could, you never know. The Hong Kong exchange making an unsolicited bid to acquire the London Stock Exchange. Remember, London Stock Exchange is in this bid to buy this Refinitiv business. It was when Reuters split up and they split off the data from the news. They sold Refinitiv to Blackstone and other private equity firms. Blackstone has turned around now and selling it in a deal to the LSE. Well, if that deal closes, the London Stock Exchange becomes too large for anybody to buy it. And Hong Kong has decided to make an unsolicited bid to try to prevent that deal and, of course, acquire the LSE. So the Refinitiv deal has had the effect of putting the LSE in play, if you want to call it that. Where is it valued? It's about 2.045 pence and 2.495 Hong Kong Exchange shares. That values the LSE at a 23% premium to last night's closing stock price. But there's a lot here that could happen.
Right.
Politics could get in the way. Regulatory, of course. There certainly are some overlaps. But there's also no lack of interest from other buyers, at least that we've seen in the past. ICE has looked at it.
These guys all make so much money.
Bourse has looked at it. NASDAQ has looked at it. I mean,
fintech.
So we'll see what happens.
It's fintech. Right. Market
LSE was going to move into the data business
right?
with this and still might. They say, hey, we're fully committed to the Refinitiv deal. The board will consider the proposal, they say, and make further announcements in due course. But we are committed to making good progress on our acquisition of Refinitiv, as they announced it at the beginning of August.
Well, I wanted to ask you, speaking of deals in China, Hong Kong, I've been watching. The spread is not closed yet on NVIDIA Mellanox. It's still 14%. But NVIDIA stock continues to go up as if we saw those exceptions to the tariffs by the Chinese.
Mm.
I remember Jensen Huang told me this one is going to go. The Chinese want this deal to close. You have to watch. If the ARBs are still not playing it.
They're still afraid of Chinese antitrust approval, even though it was accepted for the review.
Right.
Which you could argue, I guess, is a positive.
I thought so.
doesn't mean the review has ended. It could go on for a very long time. Well, it could be held in abeyance.
People who own NVIDIA are acting as if it's going to get it because it would be really great for NVIDIA.
Yes.
Arbitrageurs are acting as if it's not going to happen. I like those situations where you've got dueling views.
Well, you got Skyworks and Micron working today, Western Digion there too. Part of the upgrade out of Longbow is about reductions, I think, in some inventory levels, right? Capacity cuts.
And look, Skyworks is a huge component inside of Apple. And Liam Griffin has done a fantastic job not navigating both China, United States, or right in the crosshairs. Micron, people are saying the inventories are so low. I mean, Micron, when the stock was at 37, 38, we had an unbelievable call made by Sanjay Mehrotra, who's the CEO, saying, listen, we're bottoming. Nobody listened other than the CEO of Lam Research, Tim Archer, who then bought a ton of stock for the company. Look at that. And I don't need to tell you where most of the downgrades came, do I? Oh, I'm just talking.
No, you don't.
What was I talking about?
Where the downgrades came from.
Of what stock?
Lam Research.
She said, looking at the screen.
All right, well. And Micron, actually. Right
up to date. I'm right with you. I mean, I am trying to do seven other things.
Okay, Mr.
Get ready for my Faber report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sparky over there is just really at me. He's really all over me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm all over you.
Do you want to touch on GE Baker Hughes?
I do.
Oh, yeah?
Because you had five straight days that the oil service stocks were up, and bam! He hits you right in the face like a lion punch. Colt, he knew. What timing, huh? How about that?
Meanwhile, they're going to have to take a write-down on it once finally do sell. Yeah. They're going to move below 50%. They're going to give up board seats. And they're on their way to monetizing most of the stake. The proceeds will be helping to pay down debt.
That group is so horrendous. Let it rally for a little while. But I don't want to touch it.
It's not like Culp had anything to do with the deal itself.
No,
He was just trying to clean it up.
And Schlumberger started going up, and that's the bellwether. And started going up when the company actually told a pretty compelling story. Want to go back for a second to the momentum stocks. Restoration Hardware, now RH, was down badly in the pre-market. That's ridiculous. It was a fantastic quarter. I think the stock's going to go up nicely. But, David, there's a stock, and I need you to know about this stock, because this is the stock that is the old momentum stock, like I used to talk about Ulta.
Yeah.
It's a company called Okta.
Yes.
And Okta, if you see Okta turn, David, it's for real and it's terrific.
Okay. That hasn't happened yet, has it?
I'm watching.
What?
I'm watching.
I know you're keeping an eye on it. You've talked about Okta quite a bit.
Yeah, well, because Okta
is up 2%.
It's the passport protection in cyber. And if that can go up on a day when Zscaler's down and CrowdStrike's down, well, then there's hope in the afterlife there. Don't forget Alteryx, too. Because these stocks are after and before. I mean, it really is. Before the downdraft and after the downdraft. Look at Spotify. Spotify was at 403. They made a great acquisition. Stock dropped 70 straight points. Hey, how about Chipotle yesterday down because people thought that they, too, were caught up in this so-called SEC problem of disclosure. Totally wrong. That's an inaccurate story. SEC goes back and forth on comments about the way that there should be certain accounting. And it was not ever an inquiry. It was just a kind of informal discussion among all the restaurant chains about what should happen. Chipotle was down 50 points, but it was also, again, part of the before-after.
Yeah, it's funny. Spotify's down 27%.
That's a tough one.
It's funny, listening to Gurley yesterday on the halftime talk about direct listings. He is very tall.
He's very tall.
And how much Silicon Valley should favor direct listings over IPOs.
Well, Slack's been terrible.
Slack. We do have this company coming public tonight. Direct. What's it called?
Smile Direct. Well, that's one of those Invisalign.
Apparently, it's going to be very well received.
Yes.
That's at least good.
Well, it's a selfie stock. You have to have your teeth straight. You can only do so much to look great. You get teeth straightened. Use makeup. That's why Estee Lauder's been really good. Botox, David. That's an Allergan situation.
Yes, it could. It's being bought. We compete with Invisalign, though.
Oh, yeah. Invisalign's been a bad stock.
The new term that Apple coined yesterday, the slow-fee. The slow motion selfie. Did you see that part?
I saw they had good slow-mo. Yeah. Honestly, I think that there's so much that we didn't really talk about that happened. Not just what I think is going to be the good entertainment, David, but night fusion, pro-level video.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this is multiple changes.
Yep.
And how about this? The way it's able to do depth night perception and fusion? I mean, I think we're all going to be as good as, say, I don't... Well, I mean, maybe like what the major directors will all be like director, or like, you know,
maybe,
you know,
people will be able to produce some good content.
Well, I was going to ask
Apple streaming service.
Oh, stop
make it worth the $4.99.
What I'm talking about is cinematography. You probably know all the great cinematographers.
Sure, yeah, of course.
That's what we're talking about. And then once you get good cinematography, Dave, you know what happens next? Content.
Yes.
Looks good.
A good story, though. All the cinematography in the world is not going to help you.
I am your captain. Okay.
All right. I'm going to talk a little about Philip Morris
Oh, there's good content.
Altria.
That's killer content.
That's a long-standing brand there, that Faber Report. Still going after all these years. Sunshine. Let's talk a bit about this deal, though, shall we? Because it was, what, August 27th. So a few weeks ago. Actually, Jim and I were on the set here. We were blindsided at the time.
Yes.
Many people may have been by that announcement, of course. That's all we got. That one paragraph, a couple selling us merger of equals. It was soon after that we indicated in our reporting that it really is a merger of equals, perhaps on social issues, but not in the economics. More like a 41-59 split, given Philip Morris International's significantly higher market cap and the fact that they were going to do and are pursuing a deal based on a no premium and the VWAP of the 30 days of the unaffected stock price, roughly. These guys have been in a tough position because it leaked. They put the paragraph out that misled people in terms of thinking it was a 50-50 MOE, and they haven't had a chance to tell their story, and they still don't. But what I can tell you right now is they continue to make progress towards a transaction, towards a deal. The economic issues having been largely dealt with. Social issues, of course, are still being talked about. But because the deal is not necessarily focused on synergy, it shouldn't be that difficult. You can give up a headquarters and say, all right, we'll base the headquarters here or there. There's a decent amount of room, for example, I'm told as well by people familiar with the situation. But the key here is we may see a deal in the near term. Not going to be this week, but fairly soon, I'm told, and progress continues to be made. It's important to point out that progress continues to be made, though, in the face of what have been a number of analysts who've come out and said, we don't quite think this is the right time. And a number of shareholders have also indicated that they may not be particularly behind the combination. But again, that goes back to this idea that these two companies have been unable to communicate. Why are they doing this? And what I continue to hear from those who are at least able to chat about it a bit is it's really about having that window that's open right now and being able to be a first mover when it comes to, Jim, these reduced risk products. Now, vaping obviously is its own thing right now.
Yeah.
But Philip Morris International has the IQOS product. It's a heat, not burn product. It's been approved. And they want to be here in the U.S. because the FDA is still the stamp of approval. It still gives you the roadmap to be able to take things worldwide. And they want to be able to innovate around what they think is just the first wave of these products as they watch their business go away for tobacco. And so if and when, as seems to be likely, they do announce this deal, you're going to hear a lot more about R&D spend, innovation. The window is now. We've got to get to market with these kinds of products that are going to be our future. And that while synergies are going to be helpful here, it really is going to be about that. 70% overlap in the shareholder base of these two companies.
Really?
But what's fascinating is the market cap combined is less than it was when it was announced. You'd feel like, well, somebody's going to benefit and somebody may lose. But if you got 70% overlap, why are shareholders opposed?
That's, you know, at
or why
peak,
will they be when if and when they continue to be opposed to?
Didn't DeVitri, the architect of the breakup, just give him his due? At its peak, this was the greatest value creation in history, the split. And you put the different pieces together, better than Apple. So, I mean, it is at the time. But, yeah, obviously its time has come and gone. I can't be as optimistic as they are about the prospects because I think that these are wasting assets.
Well,
do you think that
their shareholder bases appreciate the fact that perhaps management understands where their business is more so than
really
their shareholder
understands.
Base does, and therefore this is the way you have to go?
Management understands and tells a very good story, and I'm not being facetious. They're a very good story what has to happen. At the same time, I mean, look, it's a new generation of fund managers. You can't get them by Dow Chemical. I'm going to see Everlane today, which is they don't use any plastic. I mean, this new generation just doesn't, it's not waiting for the FDA to bless or not bless.
Right.
New generation is shutting down companies that they think are bad actors.
Well, you know, conceivably when they announce it, then they're going to be having to focus on sort of making their story understood and being transparent about it and trying to get people to buy in. It's going to need a shareholder vote on both sides. Unclear whether it's two-thirds or 50%, depending on whether it's a triangular deal or whether they just do it as a parent-to-parent. But regardless, that shareholder vote is going to become important, given at least some of the opposition that we've heard already in this period where there's a vacuum because you're not hearing it all from the two companies.
But, Dave, remember when they split up? It was Philip Morris was supposed to be the growth vehicle, and Altria was going to be the income vehicle.
Right.
One of the things that really shows you that where we've gone is both of them are income vehicles, and both of them have no growth. PM has some growth because people overseas are still starting.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, look, when your documentary on Juul was, frankly, the beginning of when people started realizing what's going on. Because you said it was much more than just a kid. You said it was, remember, you had that lung presentation. You also had the British, that the British are okay with it. But I watched the Juul thing, and I just said, that's it. I watched your documentary. That's it. I'm going against these guys.
Oh, you made your point very clear.
I'm going against it.
I mean, David's right. I mean, Piper downgraded Mo this week.
That's right.
Because of the cloud of policy uncertainty out of the FDA and the FTC.
Yep. I mean, they said that very thing. Any interest in a deal without a premium could suggest more stress on the underlying fundamentals and management's outlook for the future than we had anticipated or appreciated, said Piper in that downgrade Carl just referenced. And potential earnings from Juul may be underappreciated, but we're also less confident on approval from the FTC.
They should be less confident.
And the FDA.
You should be a prescription if you want to buy Juul. That's where we're going. They don't believe it. Your documentary was fabulous.
We're getting a little movement here on price. Dow's up 75. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Bob?
Yields up, baby. That's what it's all about. Yields up. Market's been going from negative to positive here. And again, the question is that rotation story. So a little bit flattish, maybe on the positive side for energy, industrials, banks. That's what's been moving recently. That's what we call that value trade. And utilities and REITs, more defensive sectors, have been lagging. Just take a look. The cyclical rally, as we've been calling it, is still fairly much intact here. So banks have been up since the end of last week. This is when the yield started moving up, transports and energy, and what we call the defensive names that are out there, the consumer staples names and the utilities and the real estate investment trust. If you put up the next full screen, you can see have been down since Wednesday's close there. There's the move here. And that's what we've been looking for. We call this the value trade overall here. As far as what else is going on, nice to see some rotation. Nice to see small caps moving. The Russell 2000 up 2.5% this week. S&P is essentially flat on the week. Can it keep going? I don't know. I mean, obviously, it depends on the trade talks and what happens with the European Central Bank tomorrow and with the Fed next week. But we've got positive momentum. We've got low volatility. The VIX is at 15. We've got high levels of pessimism. Internally, these are positive for the stock market overall. David was referencing some of the IPOs. Yes, we've had a few big recent IPOs that have been down on some disappointing earnings numbers, but we've got Smile Direct that's going to be pricing tonight on the NASDAQ. Teeth straightening. We're talking about an $8 billion IPO here. We're going to have Cloudflare pricing Thursday. It'll trade down here Friday at the NYSE. Website security. These look in very good shape right now. So the IPO market is continuing to open up and do well. David mentioned the bid for the Hong Kong exchange by London. There's some very interesting geopolitical considerations going on here. So they have basically eliminated the restrictions on trading in China, the inbound trading. So the Hong Kong has got to look elsewhere for business. But this deal, if something like this happened, they would be the third biggest exchange in the world. After the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, then it would be Hong Kong, LSE. They would be the big rival to the U.S. exchanges for global listings. And yes, theoretically, the Hong Kong exchange is independent of Beijing. Let's not kid ourselves. We all know what's really going on here. Obviously, the Beijing authorities blessed at least this bid being made. So China has already said they want to be a big global player in the equities business. This is the great backdoor way to do that. Obviously, the probability of this happening probably is fairly low, but there's very important geopolitical implications for that. Finally, on a day, of course, when we are remembering the 9/11 victims and the first responders, and I was here for that, let's just remember this is all also about renewal. The downtown, just that big, beautiful World Trade Center down here, it's a completely different place than it was 18 years ago. Lots of new buildings, lots of new people coming down here. This is where we live down here, downtown, and it's just a wonderful place to live and work as we remember those victims of 9/11. And, of course, one of the big draws, that beautiful 9/11 Memorial. Guys, back to you.
Well said, Bob. Thank you, Bob Pisani. Let's get to Rick Santelli in the bond pits, having gotten some inflation numbers this morning, and there's more to come this week. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. Indeed, they were a bit warmer than expected. Will that lead to hotter CPI? We'll see tomorrow morning. Look at a 1 week of twos.
We continue to move higher. Of course, we're sitting basically unchanged in a two-year, but unchanged in a two-year has been a lot of basis points just in the last six trading days. Look at an intraday 10. You can see clearly at 8:30 Eastern, we put in the bottom and rates moved up. Now, granted, we gave a bit back. We briefly touched 1.75. 30-year bonds, I think that part of the curve has been the best gauge of the direction of rates and the fact that we are taking back a big chunk of the drop in August. Look at an August 1st of 30-year bonds and realize that the lowest close, not even talking intraday, was a bit under 195. So we've covered a lot of ground hovering at 222. Finally, the dollar index. You know, September 3rd is when we made our high close for the dollar index going back to May of 2017. We have done a real U-turn this morning. We're up a third of a cent, and we're only about a half a cent away from that recent historic close. Carl, David, and Jim, back to you, and I hope you can watch us at 10:40 when we'll be talking to Jean-Claude Trichet, former ECB president.
It's an important interview ahead of tomorrow, Rick. Thanks. We'll see you in a little while. Dow's up 43 points, being led by Apple and Cisco this morning. If you haven't heard by now, we're a podcast. You can listen to us the opening bell hour of Squawk on the Street at CNBC.com/podcasts or wherever you listen to them. We're back in a minute. Jim, what's on Matt tonight?
FinTech has just been destroyed. I've got the best FinTech to buy it after what I think has been an amazing crash.
That's a tease.
Yes, it is.
We'll see you tonight, Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to watch some Apple TV.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.